Well, good morning, guys. I actually planned on recording this last night, and it feels like forever because I changed my recording dates to actually align with days that I'm off of work, which I should have done to begin with. But it is Monday morning, and we're recording. It's going to be a great week. I've got a cup of coffee beside me, and I'm ready to talk to you about life and about everything that's going on. But if you hadn't been here before, my name's Daniel, and for the longest time, I thought that I was the most ordinary dad in the world. So I started this journey to see the extra in my ordinary life, and I just get with you and have a conversation every week. Let's jump in, guys. So I love the change that I've made to days. The only downside has finally started to appear because I'm Tuesday through Saturday, and my kids are involved in sports. Bears soccer season just started, and I missed my first game Saturday, and it's the first game that I've missed of any of my kids and what they've done in life. And I didn't like it. I did not like missing the games. But I enjoy being on days, and right now for the schedule that's available, that's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. Amanda took videos. I called her way too many times because I was really wondering what's going on in the game because I can't remember if I told you or not, but I'm his assistant coach, too. So I'm at all the practices coaching. I'll be able to take off his last game of the season to be able to coach it. But he's doing soccer. Lucy is doing volleyball. And then Bear just signed up for immediately after his soccer season is over to do flag football. So I've got this season of just missing games that I'm going to have to prepare my heart for. Because I'm not the kind of dad who just is okay not going to the games. I love going, and I'm cheering to the point that Amanda has to be like, hey, Daniel, if you're not coaching, calm down. Which is one of the reasons I'm actually kind of happy that I'm able to assistant coach this year, because at least I have an excuse to be on the sidelines yelling for everybody to play their positions and to communicate with each other. If not, I just do it. I'm the dad who's coaching from the side and telling everybody where they need to be or what they need to do. But it's been a blessing this year. I started playing soccer. Our county, our community didn't have a soccer program, and our local YMCA branch brought it in the year 2000 or 1999, and I got to be one of the first teams that played when I was 11 or 12 years old, and I played 16 seasons, and then I ended up coaching 5 or 6 and reffing for probably about 6 or 7 seasons, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I feel like soccer and tennis are some of the greatest sports. I loved playing them. I love watching football now, but it wasn't necessarily my thing. I tried it in middle school. I was a third string running back because I was fast but small. My basic job was to hold the inhaler of the guy who played ahead of me when he was in the field running. So that lets you know how good I am. Also, I enjoyed sitting near the cheerleaders because they would ask me if we were on offense or defense. And if we were on offense, I'd say we're definitely on defense. Just to see if they would do the wrong cheer, which was a joy of mine. I apologize for that if you were a cheerleader from the middle school in Baker County, circa 2001 to 2003 in that area. My bad. But it was funny, though. But Bear, we got his coach, and it said Coach Freddy. And that was a familiar name to me. Because Freddie, who happens to be Bear's soccer coach, was the sports director at the YMCA a couple of years into it after we started soccer. And then when I became a referee, Freddie was my boss because he was the sports director. And he was able to be there and talk to me and really taught me a lot about being a good referee and being a good soccer coach. He taught me about actually being assertive and controlling the game as the ref and letting people know, hey, these are my expectations, this is what's going on, and speaking up. Because a lot of times in my life, I've been, although I like to joke and I laugh and I'll try and take the spotlight off of me by being funny, but I wasn't as assertive and would be kind of timid at times about actually taking charge or stepping up. And he taught me that as a ref, I had to do that. And that honestly benefited me in life. So when I saw Coach Freddy, I was thinking, is that Freddy? And it was. So it's really cool. The first night of practice, I was like, hey, Freddie, if you need anything, I got your back. And he's like, cool, I need an assistant coach. So we're doing that. We're practicing every Monday. I'm really getting to reconnect with somebody who was impactful in my life. And I haven't even told him that he's impactful in my life, because I don't want to be a weirdo and be like, hey, man, I want you to know, like, you're very impactful in my life, just in a normal conversation. You're like, okay, that's a little deep for a normal conversation, man. But it's been an enjoyable experience. Bear had his first, like, negative thing Saturday because he didn't feel like he was contributing to the team as much. If you don't know, he is about to be 7, so he's in the U8. And at that age, the tendency of kids is just to clump around the ball and just to run up and just kind of just one big ball around the ball, one big ball of kids. So Bear felt like he wasn't participating because he was really trying to stay in his position, and he would get very frustrated because other kids were blocking him and just running in from the other side of the field or the defense. And he came home and he said, I'm bad at soccer and I want to quit. And for me, like I told you how much I love soccer and how much it meant to me. And he loves soccer. We have family that live in Barcelona. When they came home this year, we brought his little soccer goal and we all played together and we laughed. And I had to explain to him, I was like, buddy, it's not you. You were actually in your spot. I watched the video. He was one of the ones in his spot. But it's hard when you feel like you're playing in your spot and you're waiting for the ball to come to you, but then it doesn't because it goes to somebody else. And it got me thinking that in life, that happens sometimes. We've got our goals and our plans and our aspirations, and we set things up and we say, this is what I want to do. This is the direction I want to go in. This is where I'm going to go in my life. So we start moving towards it slowly and trying to do everything right. We're trying so hard. You're doing that. You're being swamped with life. You got things going on. And then you see somebody else just jump immediately into the water. And it seems like their plans just happen. You've been working at it and you've been planning it and you've been trying for years and years. And you see things just happen for somebody else. And you start doubting yourself. You start doubting whether you were even meant to do what you were trying to do to begin with. And it can hinder you and it can slow you down and it can completely halt you in your footsteps to where you don't know whether or not you're even able to go forward. And I just wanted to take today to encourage you, like, keep playing your position, keep working, keep pressing towards what you want, and don't stop. Don't be deterred by the time that it takes, because you will see things come to pass that you've planned and that you've worked for, as long as you don't give up and don't stop. Everybody has a purpose, and I'm a firm believer that every single person on the face of this earth is right where they are, on purpose and for a purpose. You just got to figure out what you're supposed to do in that moment. Every moment you have can be used to glorify God and to lift people up, or to tear people down and completely misrepresent God. I've had both moments in my life. I've had moments where I could have used a social media platform or a conversation to glorify God and to lift them up. And instead, I found a way to mess things up and to really misrepresent who I am and who God is. And oftentimes, I look back at those moments and those times and I reflect on them and I say, wow, I would have done so many things differently in my life. But if I would have done things differently, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I wouldn't have this life that I have today. My best friend I met in Miss Brown's class in kindergarten, back in the days with the Snoopy vest. I talked about him before on here. But we're not able to talk as much as we used to, which we should, and that's a lot on me. I told you before, I'm not as good at maintaining relationships. But he messaged me this week, or this past week, and he sent me a song. And he was like, hey man, I just wanted you to know, like, you made it into a song. And it was a song. It wasn't anything that, I don't know if you know, my best friend is Dylan Gerard. Look him up on Apple Music. He's a singer. He lives in Nashville now, and he's been on The Voice. He's been on different things, and you see him around a lot. If you follow him on social media, it's really cool. It really is worth listening to and worth following. He sings country music if you're into that. But he had written this song in a song group where they, I think they call it a song circle, where everybody comes together and they just sit and they write music and they talk and they chill. It's a good way to spend time with people who are moving in the same direction as you, which is a lesson in life all in and of itself, to get around people and surround yourself with people who are positive and who are moving in the same direction as you, because they will draw things out of you. But he messaged me and he was like, "Hey man, I just wanted to let you know, like, you did make it into a song." And he sent me this song that he had written with this group, and it was very relatable. It related to me. I've felt that way in life. I know so many people have felt in life, because it was kind of one of those things. If I could go back and talk to the child that I was, as the man that I am now, would they be proud of me? Would that 16 or 7-year-old Dylan or Daniel or Josh or Emily or Michael or Amanda or whoever you are, would that 16 or 17-year-old be proud of who you are and what you've done today? Or would they wonder what got you there? And it really got me thinking. I even taught our last Wednesday night lesson on living a life to the 4th and 5th graders about living a life that would make them proud 20 years from now and make Jesus proud of everything they do. Because it really hit my heart. Like, I told them that it really did. It made me tear up, because for so many years of my life, Dylan and I were inseparable and close from kindergarten until we graduated. And hearing him reflect on his life and wondering whether or not that kid that he was when I knew him growing up will be proud of who he is. And I just started thinking about those kids that we were. And that kid that I was then would definitely be proud of him. And that kid that he was then would be proud of him too. And it had me reflect on life, and it really inspired me to not forget the passions that I have in life and the dreams that I have. Because it's so easy. And I'm a prime example of it. I never dreamed that I would be a truck driver. I never dreamed that I would be doing what I'm doing right now for a career. I've always had lofty dreams and aspirations and things that I wanted to do. But when I got married and had kids, and I felt the weight, truly the weight, for the first time of the responsibility that I had, I was like, I got to find something. And I went to what generations of my family have done. My dad drives a truck. My mom's dad drives a truck. His brothers drove a truck with the company that he had. His mom and dad drove a truck with the company that he had. So, fourth generation truck driver. I was like, okay, I can do this. I'll go and work on the loading dock until I can become a truck driver. And that's what I did. And it has provided for my family an amazing income and an amazing provision, which is what provided means. So yeah, I basically just said the definition of the exact word that I just said, but it really has given my family an opportunity to do things and go places that we wouldn't have gone before. And June will be 11 years that I've been here, which is pretty amazing. March was 1 year that I started the podcast. And that was really one of the first things that since I've started here that I did for me, that I brought back the creative outlet. Because before I started at Old Dominion, I was a children's pastor, and I was a lot more involved in church than I was. But when I became a driver full time, I had to step back because my schedule didn't allow me. My family needed to be taken care of. And I stepped away from dreams and aspirations that I had to make sure that they were taken care of. And I thought that God was done with me. I thought that I didn't have an outlet anymore, that I would never be able to really speak to anybody about Jesus because my schedule is weird. I mean, you've seen it. or not seen it, but you've seen it with the podcast and the way things go, and we've talked about it. I have an odd schedule. It changes. We bid on runs every 6 months. Right now, I'm Tuesday through Saturday. Before this, I was Tuesday through Saturday, but working nights, going to Miami, which was a 12, 13-hour night every night, which really sapped a lot out of my schedule. And now I'm back. I'm working 8-hour days. But when I decided to do the podcast, I was like, you know what? There's something in me that I got to get out, and I got to have some kind of outlet. And I've just got to talk to people about God and about what he's doing in my life. Because this isn't the life that I imagined when I was a 16, 7-year-old kid, but this is an amazing life. This is an extraordinary life that God has given me. The journeys, the Disney trips, the things that I've seen, the family that we have around the world, the places that I've been able to go over the years and do trips to the mountains, trip to the beach, Barcelona, Paris. Like, there are wonderful opportunities that I've had in my life that have been made and brought just by decisions that were made. And were able to be done by decisions that were made. There have been times in our life when Amanda was able to be a stay-at-home mom because of the job that I had. And had I not made that move, our kids wouldn't have had that time. They wouldn't have had that time with their mama, where she's been able to take. I mean, we've been married for 10 years, 10 and a half years now. And there have been seasons where almost a year she stayed home a couple times. And it was important for our kids in their formative years. She's changed her schedule to kind of fit what they needed. Because I was able to really work hard and work those 12, 13-hour days. And somehow through it all, I've been able to be present and to be here and be intentional with my time, which has been really fun. And I'm enjoying this season of days. I'm enjoying my 8-hour work days, which are unheard of for me. Like, on a normal day, I work 7.5 hours. On a bad day, if traffic's bad, I might do 9 hours. The other day, I did 10 hours, and I thought I was going to complain for about 2 hours on the way home. Just because traffic in South Carolina was bad on my way back, and I was like, what is going on? This is a bad day. And then I looked at the time, and I was like, wait a minute. On my old schedule, I would still be 2 hours away from the house, and I'm getting off work and going home right now. I'm in good shape. I'm in good shape for the shape I'm in, right? But everything I have and everything I've been given by God and every opportunity I've been given by God, and I didn't seize all of the opportunities that he gave me, but the ones I did made me who I am today. And the ones I've taken, the route I've taken has made me the person that I am today and given me the life that I have today. And I do think that if I could go back and find that 16 or 17-year-old boy that was probably hanging out with Dylan, if we were at his house, we probably had a big bowl of Skittles. It was more than Miss Kelly was making us some waffles. And if it was the evening time, there's no telling what we were doing. We were dirt road skiing or car surfing or playing tennis or soccer. Because this whole soccer journey that got me even thinking about today started because Dylan's dad loves soccer, and Dylan and Spencer and I ended up all being on the same team and playing together, and it was through all the way through school. Spencer's Dylan's little brother. I don't know if I talked to him about him a lot, but it was the constant and the steady in my life, and that even got me on the whole conversation, the whole thought of today. But we were always doing something like that. And if I could go back and find that little boy that thought he was so grown, and telling my life, there are things I'd say that he'd look and be like, really? Really, you did that? You said you would never do that. But then I could look him in the eyes and say, you might think this is crazy, but this is right where I need to be right now. Because where I'm at right now is opening the doors for tomorrow. And you don't even know what God has in store. I don't even know what God has in store. So whatever you've done today, wherever you're at today, whatever's going on in your life, know that God's got something for you. He really does. Just stick with it. Just stick with what you're doing. And if you don't like what you're doing, if you don't think 10 years from now you could really tell yourself how what you're doing has affected your life in a positive way, figure something else out. It's okay. You got time. Some of the greatest men I know, some of the greatest women I know, didn't actually find what they were supposed to be doing until their 40s. I know people who owned businesses and then it wasn't what they wanted, so they did a complete career change in their 40s when they had kids and things, and they re-educated themselves and changed their lives completely. I know people in their 50s and 60s that are doing things in those same areas now. Pursue what you want to pursue. But before everything, pursue God. And if you do that, if you put God first, and the Bible says that if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be given to you. If you pursue God first, and you take the opportunities that He gives you, your entire life will be amazing. It will be extraordinary. You won't look back and just think that you're mundane and unimportant or not special. You'll look back and see the journeys that you've been on. So enjoy today. Get out and smile at somebody. If you're off work, go somewhere where you can feel the sand between your toes and dip your toes in the beach water or in a lake or in a river. There's always something to me about being in the water that makes everything feel right. It makes everything feel perfect. And especially being in the water with people that you love. But don't be afraid to jump in. Don't be afraid to get out. We're going to pray and we're going to wrap it up. But I really do love you guys. God, thank you for today and everything you've given us. I pray that all my friends who are listening, that you just bless them and fill them with your spirit. God, let them have a great day. Let us all have a great day. There are needs that you know that only you can meet. God, and fill these hearts with love and joy and happiness and peace. God, be with every person listening and let them know that they aren't done. You're not done with them when you're not done with the plan that you have for their life. That right now they are where they are on purpose and for a purpose. That you've got something for them to do right now. Someone for them to smile at, someone for them to talk to, someone for them to hug. A moment for them to embrace that will open doors for their future. God, guide us and lead us and help us to be the best example that we can be of your love in this world that needs your love so bad. I love you and I need you and I praise you. It's in your precious name I pray. Amen. Hey guys, I love you. God loves you and you should love you too. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening, guys.
We'll see you next time. We love you.